Hi, this is Steve Chandler, talking to you today about getting what you want and about asking for what you want, because that's really the key. One of the things that Byron Katie teaches is that if you were to ask 1,000 people, you would get whatever it is you wanted, if you were willing to ask 1,000 people for it. Well, people are not willing to do that. They ask one or two, and then they stop asking. And why do they stop asking? That's what we're going to look at today. Why do people stop asking for what they want even though they didn't get it? And the reason is really rejection, the thought of rejection, the feeling of rejection. So let's look first at rejection. Rejection is a feeling, it's a sense, and it's a story. It's not really reality. Nobody can be rejected, but they can sure feel rejected. You could actually get yourself into a fearless state in which you realized, I can't be rejected, I can only feel rejected. And if I felt rejected, that would always be because of some story I had about something somebody said. I would have to make up a story that says, that means I've been rejected. I've been personally rejected. I don't measure up. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. They don't like me. I'm not lovable. And all those things that we place on top of some simple information called no thank you. So let's look at rejection and see that it's a story. It's a feeling that comes from my story in my head. It's not something that lives out there in the world. It's an interpretation. So if I were willing to truly see that and get that and choose not to interpret anything as being anything other than information, just the information, is it yes or no? Now, one of the things I like to teach people is that yes lives in the land of no. That's where yes lives, because in that land out there of the created world that I want to create, there are yeses and there are nos, and they live together. So the problem people have is they believe I need to get a yes. I really want to get a yes. I don't want to be rejected. I want people to approve of me. I want people to affirm and validate me. I need a yes. So they don't make that sales call. They don't ask for that investment from someone because they're afraid they won't get a yes. They don't ask someone out for a date. They don't ask someone to the prom because they think they need a yes and they're afraid of a no. Now, if I could alter that, if I could shift my mind and do a total mind shift, and I stopped thinking and creating the story that said, I need a yes, and I began to see it a different way. What if I were to think, I need yeses and nos? I need yeses, but I also need nos, because if I'm okay, in fact, if I'm actually seeking nos and yeses, not just yeses, then I'm perfectly happy to call people because they're going to give me what I want. They're going to give me nos and yeses. So if I can just have it be okay that I get no's and yeses, and if I can really get that yes lives in the land of no, that they're not separate. You can't separate yes and no. It's just like you can't separate up and down or north and south. Let's say you had a bar magnet, and so this bar magnet has north on one end and south on the other. And you say to yourself, oh, I only want north. I don't want a bar magnet with a south end. So you take some tin snips and you cut off the south end. Now you see that your bar magnet is shorter, but it still has a south end. Oh, shoot. It still has a... So you cut again. And you can keep cutting, but you'll never get rid of south. And it's the same with a coin. It's heads and tails. You'll never get rid of tails. So it's everything is like that. Yet, we go insane. We think, I need a yes. I've got to have a world of affirmation toward me, a world of approval, a world of appreciation of me. And it's that delusion, it's that really sick, narcissistic, paranoid delusion that I need approval, I need the yes, that stops us from getting what we want. We stop. We close up shop. We hide. We crawl into a cocoon. We're not a butterfly anymore. We are now cocoons, kind of inching our way through life on a linear path. It's a worm's life this way, trying to avoid no. So if I were to be able to open myself up and say no is fine with me, I need yeses and nos. I need plenty of nos. Because the more no's I get, the more yeses I'll get. So let's say I gave you a coin, and I said to you, okay, I'm going to pay you $100 for every time you toss the coin and it lands on heads. And so you're willing to toss the coin. You're not going to say, well, I'm afraid to toss this coin because it might land on tails and I won't get $100. And let's say I walked up to you and said, what are you doing? I've given you an hour to flip the coin, and you're not flipping it. And you said to me, well, I'm afraid if I flip it, it'll land on tails, and you're only going to pay me on heads. And I say, well, that's true, but if you flip it and it lands on tails, flip it again and keep flipping it, because the more tails you get, the more heads you'll get. And so that's really true. The person with the most tails sitting there is also going to have the most heads. The person who gets the most no's in life is also going to be getting the most yeses. And if you're able to see that, the whole world would open up for you. I once went to a seminar where the leaders were very enlightened to this. And they said, what we want to train you and teach you to do is to be okay with no, to receive no. And the way we're going to train you to do that is to have you actually seek no. And I do this with my clients as well. And I'll tell you how I do that in a minute. So we went out that evening, and the goal was to get a certain amount of no's before we came back from the dinner break. And we had to get 3 no's, I think it was, out there in the world before we came back for the rest of the seminar. And it was amazing to people how hard that really was. I mean, that wasn't just a slam dunk. They would ask for things. They would ask the person in the restaurant, the manager, could you please have this meal beyond the house for me? Would you please have the restaurant pay for my meal? And they would ask, they'd pass somebody in a grocery checkout line and say, would you please go out with me Saturday night? I know you don't know me, but I would love to take you out to dinner. And they would get more yeses. They were just startled. And they were shocked at how many yeses, and yes wasn't of any value to them because they had to get a certain amount of no's before they could come back. And the world is ready to say yes if only we weren't afraid of no. Yes lives in the land of no. Yes does not live in a separate land by itself. Just as South doesn't live in a separate land, South on a bar magnet goes with North. You know, the great Alan Watts actually created a word for this called goes with. And he put those two words together, goes with, and made it one word. Yes goes with no. No goes with yes. And they go together. You cannot have one without the other. And trying to separate them, it's like trying to split the atom with your own hands. It will not work. And yet, we do it all day. My clients, when I work with them, they do it all the time. Why did you call? Who have you called? How many people have you invited to your event? How many people have you invited to be a client of yours? Well, no, I'm afraid to call him. I'm afraid to call. Why? Well, you know, I'm afraid he'll say no. I'm afraid he won't want it. I'm afraid she won't want to do it. And so people are stopped from getting what they want because they're afraid. Not of people saying no, really that's not what they're afraid of so much as they're afraid of the story they'll put on that and what that story will do to them. That story will shock them to their very being about what a loser they are, how unlovable, how unappreciated, how unwanted their service is, how preposterous their fee is. How dare you? You are not worthy. And that's the story they attach to know. Well, what if know were just information? So one of the things I have my clients do, if they're in sales, or if they're coaching, or if they're consultants, or if they're in any work where they want customers or clients, I have them actually set up an exercise where they can't leave without getting a certain amount of no's that day. That's what they're up to. And the reason I want them to be up to getting a certain amount of no's is because if they were able and willing to get a certain amount of no's every single day, the yeses would come with it. You can't have one without the other. And the reason we don't get the yeses is we're afraid of asking. We're afraid of the no. Well, what if the no were fine? What if the no was just information? It's information that tells me to either move on or to ask further questions, but I'm okay with it. If there's ever a day or a week and I'm in the job of enrolling or selling or getting people to join or become a customer or client of mine or whatever I'm doing, getting people to donate money to my nonprofit, getting somebody to go out with me, anything like that, if I'm willing to get a bunch of no's every day, I'll have more yeses than anyone else. And they'll say, well, how do you do it? You must have a magic way. How do you really sell so well? You're just a natural. And what? Well, the answer would be because it's just information when people talk to me. It's not judgment. It's not condemnation. It's not the last judgment about me. It's just information. That's all it is. And so I want no's, I want yeses. So I want yes and no. So when I wake up in the morning, I want to get yeses and no's. I want to get a lot of yeses, and I want to get a lot of no's. If I'm not getting any no's, there's something about my request that's weak. What if my request were something that everybody would say, well, yeah, sure. Well, what kind of life am I living? So what Byron Katie said is really profound, and I think of it often. If you were willing to ask 1,000 people, there isn't anything that you want that you couldn't get. Let's say a person investing a couple $100,000 in your business. Let's say this, let's say that. If you were willing to ask 1,000 people, there would be nothing that you couldn't get. Now, people kind of nod their heads, but only one in a million is willing to ask 1,000 people for something because of discouragement and because of the meaning they attach to the no that they get. But if they could see that it has no meaning, there's no meaning at all when someone says no. Really, it doesn't mean anything. If someone comes to the door and asks me to enroll in their religion, let's say somebody comes and says that we'd like you to join my religion, my saying no doesn't mean anything other than no. It's just information that I'm not ready to do that at this moment. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with their religion. It doesn't mean that I'm prejudiced, or it doesn't mean that I am an atheist or I am a heretical person. It doesn't mean anything. Those are stories that people can make up about my no. It just means no. And really, it just means not yet. It doesn't mean no, never. Even if I say no, never, it could mean not yet. So what happens is people have stories about life that are different than real life. And these stories are always worse than life itself really is. What goes on in my mind is always more frightening than the eventuality of what happens. One of the things that we walk around with the story of, for example, is the story of, I couldn't handle it if that happened. So I'm afraid of that happening. I'm afraid of foreclosure. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid I might go bankrupt. I'm afraid she would leave me. I'm afraid my child would get ill. Okay, why are you afraid of that? Well, because I don't think I could handle it if that happened. Well, here's what's really amazing about that. That's never true, and yet it's the big fear that causes all the fear. It's the story, I couldn't handle that, that causes all the fear in my life when I think of the future. When I do worst case scenarios and I project out of scary things that might happen to me. The whole problem behind it, the whole reason they're scary to me, is that I have this story, I have this belief called, I couldn't handle it if. And the problem with that is it's not true. If you were to look back on your life and look at how you've lived your life right up till now, tell me the number of things that went on that you were not able to handle, that you absolutely could not handle. And the answer would be zero. The answer would be that you have handled everything. Sometimes it was uncomfortable, sometimes it was rough, but you handled it. And people realize this on their deathbeds. One of the most profound experiences I've ever had was when I worked with Devers Brandon, a great coach and consultant and psychotherapist who worked with me. Oh, not that I needed psychotherapy, I just wanted it. And so I was working with her, and she had something called the deathbed exercise. And I wrote about this in 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself. And she had her clients imagine that they were on their deathbed. So I would lie back and close my eyes and picture myself being on my deathbed, because we were doing the deathbed exercise. And now she had me look back on my life and have people come into the room and say goodbye to me, and I would say goodbye to them. It was really a moving, profound experience. But one of the things that was noticed by me was, looking back on my life, now that I was dying, there wasn't ever anything that was ever as bad as I feared it would be. Ever. Ever. Even things that people consider very, very tragic and horrifying and alarming and catastrophic, I've had those in my life. If you've read my books, I've had more than most. But never, ever was it something that I couldn't handle. And it wasn't because I was some kind of great paragon of courage. I certainly wasn't. Yet, what messes up my current life, when I think this way, is fearing things and believing I couldn't handle them if they happened. I have a close friend, very talented, gifted guy, young man, who had foreclosure on his house. And so he moved through that and moved quickly into a rented home and kept creating the life he wanted and rebounded and turned it around and turned his life around and turned his financial fortunes around by creating what he wanted and staying upbeat and staying in action and not having a huge story about the foreclosure. It's just what happened. And it's just what it was at the time, and he moved from it. So he was able, because he didn't have some story, to handle it quickly. So other people, on the other hand, tell me that I'm going through a tough time, I can't sell, I can't enroll clients, I can't even talk to my wife and kids because I'm so consumed by fear that we might lose the house. Oh, right. So why are you afraid of that? I ask them. Why would you be afraid of that? Well, I couldn't handle it if we lost the house. Really? What would you do? Would you kill yourself? No, I'd never kill myself, but. So what they finally, if they really sit with it and stay with it, they realize it's not true that they couldn't handle it. There are lots of things they would do if that became the reality. And they could handle it, and they would handle it. And you'll always handle what's there in the moment. And nothing will be outside the moment unless you project it. All fear is a projection of the future. It's never what's going on at the moment. It's always a projection of the future. All right, so let's get back to the whole point here. That is, if I were willing to have a world of yeses and nos, and if I were willing to see that yes lives in the land of no, just like to have daytime, I have to have night. to have my life, I have to have death. See, there wouldn't be this thing called life if there were no death. People who have terminal cancer have a remarkable thing occur. And actually, this is not just the few remarkable people that we read about. This is most people. They have a new appreciation of life when they have terminal cancer. All of a sudden, every day becomes really precious. Every conversation becomes really precious and gratifying and important and wonderful and lovely. So why is this? Because of death. Death gives us life. We wouldn't have life if it weren't death. We wouldn't have a distinction for it. It wouldn't feel like life. It wouldn't feel like anything. If you had a game, let's say a basketball game, and this game, we said, this game will never be over. We're not going to run a clock. No clock, no quarters. We're just going to play and play and play and play. Well, that would be a nightmare. It would be a nightmare for the players to have no end of the game. It would be a nightmare for the people watching the game to have no end of the game. Same would be true if life were everlasting here on Earth. It would be a nightmare if there were no end of the game. There would be no sense of life. You can't have a sense of life without death. You can't have yes without no. You can't have daytime. It won't look like daytime without night. If there were ever a situation where there was no nighttime, daytime wouldn't seem like, it wouldn't be like, oh, what a lovely day. There'd be no sense of a lovely day. What a beautiful day. What beautiful day. It's always like this. The key right here to getting what we want is to have no be okay. Not just okay, but to have no be what we want. I want yeses and nos. So one of the things I put my clients through is to get a certain amount of no's. It's an assignment. Don't leave your workstation without your five no's today. And if they're getting harder to get, then raise your fees. Then create bigger projects that you offer people. Create some outrageous, unreasonable proposal to a client. So it's a slam dunk no. I need my no. I need five of them. Here, I'll do this for you. Here's what I'll charge. Let me know if you're ready to go. No. Okay, good. Thanks. I need four more. And the more comfortable you get with that, the easier that becomes for you, the more wonderful life becomes, because you, in any conversation, don't wait and ask later or think, oh, someday once I've won them over, someday once I get them to appreciate me, someday once I have credibility with them, I'm going to ask them for. And that's what most people do. Oh, I don't have the credibility yet. I haven't won them over. And they don't ask. Whereas there are other people who would ask right then and there. Would you join me? Would you help me? Could you give me that investment yourself? Would that be something that you'd be willing to do? And if the person says no, I want to say, excellent. I got an answer. I collect answers. I gather them like flowers, like apples, like berries. I love them because it has me in action. It really has me living life in the land of yes and no and embracing all of life, yes and no. And it's when I embrace all of life, the yes and the no, that the yeses come. It's mathematically impossible for this not to happen. It's just so obvious when you can detach yourself from it. That's why I like to use the example in the story of paying someone $100 for every heads they get when they toss the coin in the next hour. They're going to toss and toss and toss, and when you look back, if I did this with 100 people, the people who got the most tails also got the most money, even though I only paid on heads, because they figured out how to toss the coin the most times. And so they got the most money. So the same is true with you. You figure out how to ask the most, make the most yes-no requests during the day, and you'll get more yeses than anyone in the whole world. because you're getting no's too. You're getting yes and no, and yes and no. And yes is right in with the no. Nighttime comes in with the day, and the yes and the no go together. And the happier I am with both, with seeing them as a team. See, I really want it to be okay. I don't want anything negative or dark or failure story to be attached to no. I want to see it comes with yes. They support each other. When I ask you if you'll do something, will you join my club? Will you become my client? Will you be my apprentice? When I ask you that, I really want you to be able to say no. I don't want you to be forced to say yes. I want you to have freedom of choice. It's a good thing that people can say yes or no. That's wonderful. When people ask me something, like, will you join my religion? Or will you buy this car? Or this or that? I love being able to say yes or no. You see, that's the beauty of it. The beauty is the yes and the no going together, living together in harmony, supporting each other, being there for each other. And the one creates the other. See, the one creates the possibility of the other. If there were no no's, there could be no yeses. There'd be no more distinction. That's why it's literally insane to demonize no or to be afraid of no. It's literally insane. It's like being afraid of nighttime. Oh, the world's coming to an end and the sun has gone away. And, you know, you hear about primitive superstitions that various people had, like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And it was primitive and we laugh now. And how could they be such idiots and cowards and superstitious? How could they believe that? Well, we are worse. We believe there's something wrong with no, and no is harmful, and no does damage to me. So it's like that guy flipping coins, believing that when it turns up tails, oh my gosh, no, I won't get paid, I'm depressed, it's hard, I can't even move my thumb now, I can't even flip this coin. It's so heavy to me having just gotten tails on a flip. Now, that would be just insane. If we saw someone there, we would come up to them and say, look, you're going crazy here. Don't worry about it. Just flip it again. Just flip it again because you're going to get your $100 on every heads. So just flip it. If you get a tails, flip it again. Flip it again. Flip it again. And that's the answer. That's where the money comes from, is not having any story about tails other than time to flip again. Not having any story about no other than time to ask again. Time to ask again. And the more no's I get, the more successful I'll be. It's really literally true, because the more tails somebody gets, the more money they'll make on the heads. It's literally true. Yes lives in the land of no. They live there together. Trying to separate them and only have yes in life is the reason people don't get what they want in life. That's it.